Hi, everyone. Good to see you. I'm going to be very quick because I really, just like you all, just so great to hear from our pastor. You know, this is a real privilege for me. So let's just pray and I'll just jump right into the word. So, Father, thank you again for just the worship tonight. Thank you for our pastor, all the pastors in this ministry. Your great ministry, Father, we pray you'd wash our feet tonight as we've gathered in your name, that you would just be exalted and glorified in our midst, God. We just pray this in Jesus' name, amen. I remember Pastor Schaller once at a staff meeting, he said this statement, he said, as long as we exalt Jesus Christ, we'll be okay. And that's always blessed me, because I just think that is our focus and our focal point whenever we gather together. And if Jesus Christ is exalted, then we'll be okay. I need that. If you have your Bibles, one verse from Isaiah chapter 40. I've been studying this summertime. I just started a study on the heart of God. I just wanted to get into like the heart of Jesus Christ and deeply studying. And I'm using Puritans. Puritans were great. They really knew how to take like even just one verse and write a whole book on it. You know, they would just suck the honey right out of the Bible, and they would just look at a verse from so many different angles. So this has been my meditation. I've just been thinking about how important it is to know the nature of God. I think the Puritans, when they would get saved, rather than saying, I received Christ, they said that I've been seized by the power of a great affection. What a statement. They really sort of emphasize, you think about different ones, they would, the heart of God, the love of God, the character, the nature of God being manifest. And one phrase they had that I've never heard before, but I loved it. When somebody was struggling, and like we all struggle, they said, you need Christ to be unbosomed on you. It's a little bit crazy, right? But basically what they were saying is you need to just get alone with God and you just need to let God love you. You need to open your heart and see his heart. And that's what I just thought this morning was a classic. I don't want it to end out there. You know, I just think it's just a revelation of what's happening in the message today. Pastor Schaller's message was so crucial and important. And we saw Christ in Psalm 22, 23, and 24. We saw him, and he mentioned this phrase that he's a shepherd king. So I love that. In Isaiah 40, verse 11, it says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. What a sweet, tender verse that is. And I don't know about you, but I like to think of myself maybe as a little lamb. And we're a part of Jesus' flock. And because we're part of his flock, you know, it's going to be okay. We're winners. We have such a great future. We couldn't have a better shepherd, a better guide, a more loving. We're so well fed. Don't you feel like that in this ministry? I think about how father-like he tends us. He knows our frame. I was thinking about that. I love that the Bible is like so real. It's like realism. It doesn't spare us when it comes to correction. And I think one of the greatest liberating understandings I have is just how much of a sinner I am. And in the finished work, you know, it's like, I think it was one of the morning devotionals Pastor Schaller had, this week he was talking about Psalm 32. And then the blessed man whose sins are, you know, completely forgiven. And I was just thinking how naturally we're sort of wired to constantly drift from finished work realities. If we're left to ourselves, we're excusing ourselves and fighting for, you know, sort of giving it to ourselves, like either whipping ourselves or we're saying there's no problem, but there is a problem. But we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. When we sin, I was thinking about how, like, naturally, when we're challenged, maybe we're corrected, we'll start to advocate for ourselves. It's like a very foolish person who says, I don't want a lawyer. I'm going to go in that courtroom and I'm going to speak for myself. It's a foolish thing to do. But isn't it great to say, like, and to know that, wow, I do have, I'm an ongoing sinner, but I have a Savior whose blood and the cross, and he is risen, and he's exalted, and he's coming back again. He is the King. What a wonderful thing that is. Jesus, once in the Gospels, exposed his heart to us, and it was in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he says, my heart, he said, it is meek and lowly of heart. Meek and is that word gentle. So I love that it says that he gently leads those who are with young. He gathers the lambs with his arm. He carries them on his heart. And if we could, like John the Apostle, just park there on the heart of Jesus, listen to his heart, watch how he was with people. I saw that The Chosen, there's a series. Wow. It's just so moved me to see Christ like a real man who's God with real people who are sinners and just the compassion that he has. And this is our God. He gently leads us. He's such a gentleman. He does what we could never do. So praise the Lord for that. Let's continue to have him lead us to the end, all the way to the end with his love. We just want to focus on that, the love of God. And bless our pastor now. We pray in the service and all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Isn't that sweet? That's amazing. Beautiful. Awesome. To the folks at home, let's turn to the camera and talk to them. Look at them. You can't. Your head doesn't go that way. We love you. We love you. Talk to your neighbor on the couch, in the chair, in the living room, here in the church about what you just heard from Pastor Glenn and about who Jesus is. Yeah, let me give you a hint up on the iPad here. This morning we said Jesus is on the cross, right? Number two, where is he? Jesus is at the right hand. He ascended. And number three, Jesus is coming back. Coming back, okay? Today we're speaking about this. He's at the right hand of God, all right? Have a prayer with your neighbor for a minute. Or say a word of encouragement to them. Father, we thank you for the assembly in the homes, online. Thank you for the folks across the sea, many places they are. We are one family for a convention that we move to August, and we give that to you in our prayers, fervent prayers for missions, for outreach, for raising up men and women of faith to learn and study. For the graduates at GGCA, that'll be next, no, two Saturdays, I mean, 13 days from now, graduation. Is that right, Pastor Barry? 13 days from now, graduation. In June, we will have our MBCNS. But in any case, we are before you as our way. Bless these thoughts and bless your people, please, in every way, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's so much better to preach to people. Wow, I didn't know you were out there. It is. It's a lot. Is it? Have you felt it? Any, you know, you haven't gotten to do it yet, Pastor Love, but. Okay, turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. When we see Jesus on the cross, we can imagine it because there are artistic visuals, there are movies, there are paintings. We read about it in detail, and Jesus is on the cross. That's how many people think of Jesus in his body and suffering on the cross. But then he ascended, and he's gone into the clouds, and he's at the right hand of his Father. And we read about that in the book of Revelation, chapters 4 and chapter 5. There he is. He takes the scroll. There is no man who can take the scroll. And I wept much, John said, because there was nobody that was really in charge of this whole thing. You know, when John went to heaven, he realized, like, there needs to be somebody. And he saw the throne. This is important. There needs to be somebody in charge of the whole thing. And there wasn't any man. But the earth is given to man. But there wasn't any man. And then the Son of God, the angel said that he is worthy to take the scroll. Let me read it. Wow. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" This is the title deed of the earth. Another way of saying, who's in charge of the whole thing? Of the good, the bad, the ugly. Who's in charge of what's happening on the earth? Who's in charge of this whole thing? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. We weren't even close. We couldn't even look on it. There was nobody with that authority. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." So now we see him at the right hand of the Father with this authority, and he is the glorified man, the new head of the human race, the Christ, the Savior. Well, what does he do now? So this is Ephesians chapter 4. He that ascended, first descended, verse 10. And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. It's great to have somebody that's anointed of God to do that service and keep our churches in prayer in the United States, as we said in the beginning, and for our brothers and sisters and revival. The devil would like to shut down, and there's no message and there's no ministry, but there is a ministry. Tonight at the wrap, there's Pastor Ray here. Pastor Ray here, is that? He's not coming? Okay, who's in charge of that? Okay, Pastor Jason and a group of a team that works with the homeless are going to do the wrap tonight. And there needs to be people that care, and it happens by the Spirit. Just as you're sitting here, it happens by the Holy Spirit, and you start to think about it, and you see it. You see it. You see there's people, but you see more. You see the ministry of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. You see, you hear the wisdom. You see the faith. You see the answers, you see it, you catch it, you realize it's real, you realize it's important, you realize that it works, you realize that God is here, he's in our midst, he's walking in the candlesticks, you realize that, wait a minute, he's on the cross, no, he's at the right hand. Yeah, but where is he now? He's in the ministry. He is the ministry. He has sent the Spirit. And there's work that is happening in a world that where there is resistance against God, against faith, against investment, against caring, against prayer, against grace. There's resistance against activity, faith, love, vision. There's a resistance against it. But it says here that these people that are amongst us, and thank God for many of them around us, it says verse 12, therefore the perfecting of the saints. It's not the best word. A better word is maturing of the saints, because we aren't really perfected in this life, not until we leave our body will we be perfected, but we are maturing. Do you feel that or see that or recognize there's something happening in my heart, like the maturing of the body, the maturing of fruit on the tree? It's a long time. It grows. It's weeks and weeks, and then like it becomes like ready to eat. Well, God is making a bride for himself, and there's a maturing, a washing, Ephesians 5:26. Maturing, cultivating, investing. I remember Dr. Stevens saying to us, I just jotted it down. I think my wife mentioned it to me this afternoon. When you're in trouble, preach Christ. When you're pushed backward on purpose, go forward. When you're losing, you do more to gain. You exalt Christ. You live by faith. You, when things are, where do I learn this? I learn it because of the ministry of the throne is given to the church, us, the body, and it's in the body where we realize love. And love doesn't quit. Love doesn't back off. Love cares. And that's been seen through these weeks in many ways by many people. I can't believe it. I'm so, you know, in that good way, proud of the people of God that I have seen. I have seen the people of God in the GGCA teaching their classes faithfully. My grandchildren are students there. And they have their classes and all the work that goes on. Pastor Barry, all the work, all of the everything that happens. You know, you can, you know it. I mean, Paul Nye, wow, and his team, and Sebastian. When going gets tough, they get going, and they're tougher, and they do things. I mean, I'm not, you know what I'm saying. Where did that come from? Where is that spirit coming from? Where is that love coming from? Where is that hope coming from? Where is that? That's the throne. The right hand of God is the Savior, who is the shepherd, who feeds the flock, who cares about us, who fills us with the Spirit every day in Luke 11, verse 13. When we ask for bread, he doesn't give us a stone. When we ask in simplicity, he answers us and encourages us. And what does he do? But perfect or mature the saints. There's a lot of maturity. The second thing there, if you follow that with me, in verse 12, for the work of the ministry. How can you get people to work for nothing? God. How can you get people to do things by faith? God. How could you get somebody who's ready to go to college on a scholarship to say, no, I'm going to Bible college. I want to be a missionary. How could that ever happen? Something in the heart, being led by the Spirit, by God, and something that's extraordinary, something different. It's the throne of Christ, the presence of Christ in our hearts. What happens when the throne ministry happens? The epistles happen. And we read, the Apostle Paul understood about Jesus in heaven, that Jesus is heaven, is in heaven, and we are with him. And Jesus has authority, and he gives gifts. And Jesus is interceding, and Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking from his Father, and he's speaking to us and preparing us and maturing us to face what God has for us in the future. And that is something that is so precious, that has to grow. When something in my heart is so precious, that is important. It's like the pearl of great price. I heard of somebody who at a yard sale bought a crummy picture, and he found in the frame, it was like from the 18th century, very old, but he found in there a very rare document behind the picture, like in the frame, like folded up, and it was worth a fortune. And he had bought the picture for $3, and he had gotten this thing. It's like when I find the pearl of great price, when I find the very key to the essence of life, when I find the message that changes a person's heart, when I find the ministry that is fundamentally, instrumentally important for somebody's survival, it's their survival. He that turns a man from his sin, saves a man from death, and covers a multitude of sins. In James 5, verse 20. In Luke chapter 15, doesn't it say that when a sinner is converted, it's kind of like heaven explodes with thunderous praise and joy. Yay. Huge deal, big deal when somebody is saved. It's a huge deal when somebody is saved. How can they be saved without the preaching? And how can there be a preacher without being sent? And how can you be sent without a church? Acts 13, verse 2 and 3. Now go to the closing part here. It says in verse 12, the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. The body of Christ, the immune system. We've heard a lot about that in the last couple months. But your immune system, you know, it's great. The immune system, yeah, the body. That's the analogy. We are the body, and we need an immune system to fight off infection. We need an immune system so we don't get sick. We maybe every day get a little bit sick, and our body fights it off because that immunity is important and that fight is important. I remember a doctor said to me, if you run, if you jog, it puts stress on your bones, and your bones send a message to your body that you are alive and you got to build, if something happens in your body to build you up in a healthy way. You become healthy by the stress. Well, we are talking about something spiritual. The stresses and the troubles. This is a good thing. The challenges that we have, the stresses and the troubles. Let me share here's a little nugget for you. Absalom wanted to meet his father David, and Absalom sent a message to Joab, I want to meet my dad. I got to talk with him. And Joab ignored it because he didn't want to get involved, apparently. Absalom, no answer. Absalom sent him a second time, and Joab ignored it. And so what did Absalom do? He set his barley field on fire. He sent somebody to Joab's barley field and set it on fire. After the fire happened, Joab went to him to talk to him right away. In there is a little message. Has God set your barley field on fire because he wants to talk to you? Has God caused some trouble in your life because God wants to talk to you? Hey, you and I, maybe there's something going on in our hearts that maybe it's from God. My barley field's on fire. That's not right. Yeah, but maybe God is saying to you, come on, I got to have a talk with you. Because your life is slipping by day, and you're paying no attention to me. Humble yourself unto me. I will teach you. I will help you. I will save you. I will forgive you. I will give to you. I will show you. I will heal you. I will fill you. I will satisfy you. What's happening at the right hand of God? The most important person in the universe is caring for you and I. And when your barley field goes up in smoke, don't get offended. Come to him and say, what is it, Lord?
What is it you have to say to me? What is it that you're doing in my heart and in my life? And he says, you know, you're going to be empty if you go your way, but if you follow me, then you will be where I am. And I will enrich you. I will give you character. I put it in you. I put my spirit in you. I will anoint you. I lead you. I will show you my way, and I'll show you who I am, and I will show you who I am on the throne before you get to heaven. Before you get there. Yeah. Okay, closing. Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, what is he going to do? He's going to edify the body. He's going to do the work. He's going to show us. He's going to mature us. We're going to grow up into him and to all of the body around the world, all of our sisters and brothers that we love and care about daily. And there are many of them that we say in our prayers, many of them that we care about, many of them that are on the telephone, many of them here in Baltimore and the area, many of them in other parts of the world, many of them we are saying, have you found Jesus lately? Have you found Jesus lately? Have you met Jesus? Has Jesus visited you? Has he been a soft touch, a kind word, a tender Holy Spirit visitation? Have you met Jesus? Have you made it? I met Steve today. Steve, you want to just raise your hand for a second? There we go. See that man right there, that young man, the healthy-looking guy? That guy, all ready to roll. Okay, we talked in the park. But he came to the Easter play, and then has been coming here. And I got to meet him out in the parking lot. And you don't mind me saying it, I mean, he said, you know, I just want to make more time in my busy schedule. I need what it is that is happening here. Is that correct? Please say it is. I went way out, okay? I went way out and I said that. No, that's what we talked about, just as brothers. I agree. I got to put it in my life. I got to put it in my... I got to have it as a priority, and we do, and it's been happening, and I'm just very thankful for that. So that's the thoughts for tonight. Hold it. I'm closing. Wait, don't push me. Hey, don't push me. No, okay. You'll regret it if you push me. No, over it. Okay, wait. Just because it's the context. Till we come in the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's going to happen. We're going to be just like him. Be many varieties, many differences, but we're going to be like him. Our character, our spirit, our nature. And that's such an honor. Lord, we're going to see you. It's going to happen one day, very soon. We'll be out of our flesh and in your presence. And then one day our flesh will come up out of the ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got to tell you a funny story. Can I? Hey. Wait a minute. It's a true story. Latin America, a guy was driving a truck, open back end truck, and there was a coffin there. And there was a hitchhiker, and he picked up the hitchhiker, and he's riding in the back of the truck, and then it starts to rain, and so he gets in the coffin. Okay, he's in the coffin, and he falls asleep. Okay, the driver picks up two more hitchhikers. The driver stops, pulls over, picks up two more hitchhikers, and they're riding in the back of the truck. After a while, guess what happens? Guy opens the coffin, and he sits up, and he says, "Is it still raining out?" Okay. Would you pray with me right now? Okay, Father, thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. There'll be a salvation call. Please come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus by faith. You need him. And for one day, your body will come up out of the ground, hallelujah, and be perfected. God bless you.